Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, we're waiting for our special guest, Chris. We are just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Everyone's talking about it. The mock drafts are flying. The rumors are flying all over the place. I just hope it gets here. I can't wait. I'm beyond excited. It's a great time of year, and I'm really interested to get Sean Marash's take on this when he comes on. But, man, the rumors are flying, bud, and I know that we keep saying, like, nobody knows what they're thinking, but it's not going to stop people from putting out there what they think and, oh, it's this guy. No, it's this guy. It's definitely this guy. They're doing this.
Yeah,
it's a fun time of year, you know?
Yeah, it's... It is a fun time of year. It's also buffoonery time of year, too.
Yes.
I love people out there, or sources saying this and that. And you know what? Joe Shane's family probably doesn't even know what the hell he's picking or thinking about it, you know? But there's other guys out there, oh, I think they love this guy. I think they're going with this guy, you know, and all that stuff. But that's the fun part of it, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know. That's the thing. We just don't know. You could kind of guess what they're doing, you know, thinking, I see Jaden Daniels is coming in Monday. They already visited with Drake May and JJ and the quarterbacks, you know, now, you know, will they draft? Will they trade back? Will they take a Bowers in front of the Jets? Are they open to business at six? Are they going to try to move up? You know, Shane said something the other day about, I forget what the hell he was talking about. He said something about, hey, listen, you know, we're at six. We're going to get a good player. We're going to get a very good player, you know. Might not be a quarterback, but we're going to get a good player. And I found that a little interesting that Joe said that.
The smoke screen and all, you think?
Possibly. Or, you know, maybe bracing, letting the Giants fans know, listen, you know, we're asking. I know they've called these teams in front of him what the hell it would take to move up. Maybe he feels that, hey, it's not going to happen. There's just too much of asking for. I don't know. It could be a smoke screen. It could be that. It could be a combo. Who the hell knows? There's so much smoke shit going on this time of year, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see. And we're going to get our answer, Jerry, in 2 weeks, right? In 15 days, we'll get our answer.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner. We'll find out what the hell is going on. I think it's going to be a wild first round, though, because this team's looking to move up, dude. There's no question about it. This team's looking to move up, especially, you know, Minnesota and Denver's going to look to move up. Who knows what Vegas does? And Jerry, you know, to me right now, as far as quarterbacks, right, I look at it like there's four definites going in the first round. That's the way I look at it right now.
Yeah, right.
Caleb, Jaden, Daniels, Drake May, and I have JJ going definitely in the first round. And I think it could be six with Bo Nix and Michael Penix.
I agree.
For me, I'm leaning more towards five, one or two, but a very good possibility it could be six.
With you think Penix would be the fifth, not Bo Nix?
I think Penix would be the fifth. But Jerry, I'm going to say this again. Denver picks in front of Vegas.
Right.
And Bo Nix, to me, fits their system, man. So it wouldn't surprise me that. It wouldn't surprise me if Peyton went with him at 12.
Yeah.
And the Raiders, you know, to me, that organization loves a guy like Penix who will wing it down the field. Spread it out, wing it, you know, they've always been like that. Let's go down the field type organization, you know, since going back to Al Davis and Cliff Branch days, you know.
So it's
going to be interesting to see now who jumps up. What does Minnesota do? Does Joe have enough capital to move up? I know to me, Jerry, the smokescreen right now is coming out of the nation's capital. I know Washington's kind of trying to throw it out there about, well, you know, maybe they like me better than you. Dude, I'm going to stick with this. I could be wrong.
No, I agree.
But I'm going to stick with it. There is no way they're not going Jaden Daniels.
That's what I said. I said in my column, I said I'd wear an Eagles jersey somewhere if they don't take Jaden Daniels. That's how positive I am. I'm with you, dude. Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels. I'd be stunned if they don't take him.
Yeah, so to me, it's like there's a lot of smoke coming out of Washington, Jerry.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the big question is going to be, you know, what the hell does New England do at three?
Yeah.
And how does that affect the Giants? What I mean by that, well, if they go with Drake May.
Right.
And that's who the Giants want. That's their guy. When we both kind of agree that Drake May kind of fits what Dable likes, right?
Yep.
We've said it.
Yeah.
You put it in your column. They're going to trade up for Drake May, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I they do like JJ, but I think they like May more. Do I know that for a fact? No, but this is kind of what I'm getting, the feeling I'm getting. Okay. and feeling of what he fits, you know, especially guys that are coming, he's going to sit a year behind Daniel, you know, and he's going to learn with Dable and all that stuff and be ready to roll in 2025. I think Drake May is one of those guys. J.J. McCarthy could be one of those guys. But the question mark at Jerry is going to be this. Mm-hmm. Who does New England go with at three? If it's right. Drake May, right, do the Giants have J.J. a fourth grade? Do they try to move up with Arizona? Does Arizona say, F you, everybody. You think we're passing on this generational receiver? You're out of your freaking minds. And they stay at four.
And, Chris, we have our guest backstage. I'm going to add him now.
Bring Marash on. I love this guy. Sean Marash from WFAN. Evan Tiki is on the podcast. Sean, my man, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Fired up. Jerry's jersey has me fired up.
Sean, yeah. I wanted you to feel at home. Rangers, hang on. Hang on. I wanted you to feel at home as a quintessential.
I'm getting sick looking at that.
Quintessential New York fan that you are, Sean. Giants behind me. Rangers here. Yankees here, buddy. What's up, man?
I love it. I love it. I love it. And Chris, you're right. You're firing on all cylinders already, right? What the hell do the Patriots do at three? That's such a big question as it pertains to the Giants. This is a busy time, right? We got hockey playoffs. Yankees are freaking rolling. But, of course, the Giants are why we're here in the NFL draft coming up in 2 weeks.
Sean, look, we finally hooked up with you. We worked on this a few weeks. We finally made it happen. I was just talking with Jerry before you came on, and I said, you know, freaking Sean cracks me up. His passion, you know, the way he goes at it with people on Twitter is freaking classic.
I know. I should probably lay off.
I hear you. Well, you know what, Sean? I think a lot of people appreciate your passion, bro. You know, I definitely feel that, you know, people tell me that, you know, some people text me today, yesterday saying, oh, Marash, that freaking guy is freaking crazy, man. He loves. So I said, yeah, well, guess what? We're going to get it out of him. So Sean, let's get into it, brother. I know you have limited time. You got other obligations. I want to thank you, man, for giving us some of your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming from work good, and all man. That.
I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old that just, you know,
say no more.
In the bed every freaking night. But it's a good thing. But, you know,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, brother. Yeah. We've
enjoy it now.
So, Sean, look, we were talking about it. What the hell does New England do at three? Do you feel the Giants are going to try to trade up, Sean? Are they looking for that quarterback? How do you feel?
Well, so first of all, it's going to sound like I'm covering all bases here because I feel a couple different ways, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think the best case scenario for the Giants is they identify and love a quarterback with 1 year left of Daniel Jones's contract, and they do whatever they can to get that guy. I think a lot of sensible fans would feel that way. However, like you pointed to, New England, Washington, Chicago, guess what? All of those teams need quarterbacks and where they all happen. I think what it comes down to for me is pretty much, you know, all of these teams, and New England's included in there. I got to think Washington's identified the guy not named Caleb Williams who they're going to take. But specifically, I don't know that I necessarily trust a regime that's identified three guys they'd be comfortable taking at three or four, all at the quarterback position. I would hope that you fall in love with one, maybe two of those guys. There's no way you could feel all of these guys to a heart will fit your system, right? So if Washington happens to take the guy New England loves, does New England just settle for the third quarterback in the draft? Or is that a spot with a defensive-minded new head coach where they say, you know what, we are still a little bit of ways away. Let's trade back. Maybe, you know, we're the team that takes Penix or Bo Nix late or something like that. I think that's still on the table. And if that's the case, you know, the Giants could very much, with ties to New England, jump up and make that kind of trade. But that might be wishful thinking. So, look, man, if the big three quarterbacks, and I'm not putting J.J. McCarthy there. Personally, I don't love J.J. McCarthy. I bet a lot of Michigan games. Didn't love the way he played. That would feel like I'm doing Daniel Jones 2.0. I think from that standpoint, as much as we may want quarterback, the worst thing you want to do is force something that's not there. I'd sit back and I'd take the wide receiver at six, and I wouldn't think twice.
So that's who you want. You'd rather go wide receiver at six?
Well, what I want is Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Those are my two guys to be available at either six, or the Giants have a trade partner they're willing to dance with. That's my number one.
Got it.
But I am assuming that's not going to be the case. So I would rather take a receiver at six than either take J.J. McCarthy at six or trade up to four to get J.J. McCarthy in that spot. But look, as we've known, I loved Josh Rosen. I'm sure you guys have, like, you know, insert quarterback draft here. I liked Mitchell Trubisky. I've been way wrong on quarterbacks. So if they really love J.J. McCarthy, I would love to be wrong on him. I just know I would walk away from draft night with my stomach in my mouth, basically. And that's a lot of stomach and a lot of mouth.
Sean, the only quarterback I've been right on, unfortunately, was Daniel Jones from the podcast leading up to. We just didn't want him, and they took him. So that's the only one I've ever been right on, pretty much. So,
Sean, let me ask you this, brother.
Yeah.
Do you have total and complete faith in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll?
I do. And maybe that's a mistake, but I do. And maybe that's also comparing to how little faith I had in Dave Gettleman. But I think at a bare minimum, any Giant fan that's watching us, joining us here tonight, can admit this. Every single Dave Gettleman draft, by now, what are we, 2 weeks out, we essentially knew exactly what Dave Gettleman was thinking, and it was proven on draft night. And that's really scary. Whether it was Saquon Barkley, and the idea that he didn't entertain any trade calls, we might have resisted the idea that they would actually do it. They did it. Whatever you thought of Saquon or not, that was telegraphed by the Giants at number 2 overall. Even when it came to the Daniel Jones draft, we heard plenty of Daniel Jones murmurs at least a week, 10 days out. But again, a lot of us, I think, put our walls up and said, they're not going to actually do that at 6. Maybe it's Dwayne Haskins. Maybe it's something else. Maybe they take Josh Allen. But in the end, we were telegraphed. And there was another, Andrew Thomas. They were linked to Andrew Thomas for like 3. That one worked out. And DeVonta Smith, the whole world knew they loved DeVonta Smith so much so that the Eagles traded up. Think about where we stand now. And, you know, I was doing my own podcast for Odyssey. I do One Giant Step. I've had these conversations with Tiki off the air. You know, part of the weirdness of approaching this draft with the Giants is, what quarterback do you like? Would you rather take the wide receiver? It's actually a really refreshing thing that we sit here at 6th overall, and on April 10th, 2 weeks outside the draft, none of us have a damn idea what the Giants are actually going to do. Will they actually trade up? Will they just take a wide receiver? Dare I say, do they trade back and end up, you know, O-line, Brock Bowers, something like that? I think everything is on the table. And for that thought alone, how do you not have faith in Joe Shane? He hasn't telegraphed a damn thing.
But you can even go back further and with Jerry Reese, the Eli Apple. They wanted Leonard Floyd
they got caught with their pants down, Jerry, because of the tonsil thing.
Right.
Which
exactly.
In hindsight, by the way, if you see somebody you like with a gas mask full of weed, take them, please.
And everybody knew Eric Flowers as well. Sean, I want to ask you a question. Do you put any stock into the fact that a quarterback buys Daboll more time? Not that he's on the hot seat, but if they take a receiver and things go awry right away in September, you just know how it is, right? You know that everyone's going to be talking about, all right, well, and I'm not saying it's right, but they'll say that the specter of Belichick is out there, and I don't want it, you know, but it will happen. Do you think do you put any credence to if they take a quarterback, it just buys another year at all? Because I've heard that argument made. That's why I'm asking.
Maybe this is wishful thinking again, because I really like Daboll. Last year is a prime example of whatever happened with him and Wink Martindale, whatever side you're on, so be it. The team didn't quit. In fact, the reason the Giants are picking 6th overall, as we all know, is because they won games with Tommy DeVito on a dead season where the team didn't quit. So, man, I would hope that John Mara is true to his word as far as, you know, faith in this regime and all of that. And I understand that, you know, he's impatient and wants winning. We all do. But if there is not the true quarterback available at 6 that Daboll can hitch his... Sorry, I'm buffering here. Am I good?
Yeah, you're good.
If they have to roll out Daniel Jones and Drew Lock this year and they don't end up walking away with a quarterback, like if that's what they do, I don't think that you could punish Brian Daboll if the team goes and wins 6 games again and Daniel Jones gets hurt again. Like, to me, firing the coach there makes no sense. In fact, if you really think about it logistically, it would almost be like punishing Brian Daboll and, to a lesser extent, Joe Shane for the first year they had in 2022 where he really had no expectations. Because had that team won 4 games and they finished it with 6 games and we kind of saw a little growing, maybe that would have bought him more time, but it was almost because they had such a good year, we're putting him on the hot seat. I hope, quarterback or not, barring this team fist fighting in the locker room and completely quitting on each other, another 6 win season, something like that, I would still give it a 4th year. I really would, just because I don't want these guys to feel pressured to have to go quarterback if there isn't one. Like, don't have to take Michael Penix because the Vikings traded up because you're so fearful. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Exactly. But don't do it because you feel like you need the quarterback to buy you time.
Force the pick, right?
Sean, 2 things, Sean. I have total faith in Joe and Dave's. They will not reach for a quarterback in this draft. They're too small for that. They're not going to do that. Okay. Two, you mentioned the locker room at the end of last season, and I reported this 1,000 times because I'm in the locker room, that I know there was some other people reporting it that, oh, Dave's lost his locker room, Dave's, which was total complete bullshit. And Jerry will tell you. And you, I put it on a podcast last year, November or December, because I'm in the locker room. I said, this guy did not lose this locker room. These guys are still playing hard for him. And he did. And that was a big, big sign last year, Sean. Huge. Yeah. That he didn't lose the players. Listen, the coach's bullshit is blown out of proportion. I can tell you that right now. Yeah, is Dave's tough on his coordinators and his coaches? Absolutely, Sean. The win thing was a whole other category, Sean. Okay? Wink and his two boys were rats.
They didn't get hired for another NFL gig. Wink had to go back to college.
Okay, because they were leaking information out. Okay, and I remember he got, and then at on top of that, Sean, as we know, Dave's approached him, and I reported this. You even put it on one of your breaking news things on the Fan. I remember
the glass shattering.
You know, when at the end, when he storms out like a little kid because he was pissed off, and he leaves the building, they couldn't find him, which I reported. They couldn't even get in touch with him for a day, acting like a little kid because he got busted. He was leaking information. So the whole thing with Wink and Wilkins brothers was a whole different animal. That Dable tried to make it work, still approached them and says, guys, let's clear this out. What's going on here? Oh, no, we don't know what you're talking about, Dave. So I don't know. You know, so
right. What's he supposed to do? So what more is Dable supposed to do with that? Right. And I would go the other step further, man. Whatever his deal was with Kafka, too. Look, he gave Mike Kafka an opportunity that he did not have as a quarterback coach in Kansas City. Clearly, no OC in Kansas City has it beyond Andy Reid. And that was a chance to call plays, which I think tactically was the right move for Dable, because as a first-time head coach, learn how to be a head coach and control the whole team before you're worrying about calling plays. When things went awry, if he was taking over play calling, yeah, that sucks for Kafka. That's probably not good cohesiveness to have it yanked back and forth. But I don't blame Dable. His bread and butter and how he got here is offense. So once he got cooking and figured out how to be a head coach, I don't blame him for wanting to have more influence on there. And I think making Kafka an assistant head coach this year, even if that was kind of just a way to keep Kafka happy, that's the right approach Kafka's done on a lot of these, you know, on a lot of these interviews to try to become a head coach. So I'm totally fine with it, man. We've seen so many bad coaching. Chris, you've been in the locker room. So many of these coaches that might be nice guys, from Pat Shurmur to Ben McAdoo. Stupid for me to rattle off the names. Every Giant fan knows the stupid names we've had to deal with on this goddamn team. We could clearly see the difference with Brian Dable. Like, I just don't want to throw him to the wolves if the team is stuck and they don't have a quarterback this year. And go, well, 3 years, you know, we only made the playoffs 1 year. Fire him. For what?
Sean, I could tell you this, brother. I could tell you this. I remember being in the locker room with Pat Shurmur. And good guy, really nice guy. But I remember players talking to players at the end of the year, and they just rolled their eyes talking about Shurmur and some of the game plan. Trust Sean, you talk to guys last year, even when the losing kicked in and they were having struggling, not one guy. And I tried, Sean, like, you know, how's Dave's with the Pratt? Not one guy rolled their eyes. Nobody gave me that look like, oh, you know, like that look. I've gotten that look from other coaches, like, oh, you know, like that look like. So the players love him. That's the bottom line. Now we'll see if it works. But Sean, let's get back to the draft quickly because I know we're limited time. Yeah. My opinion, Arizona goes Marvin Harrison. I think they'd be crazy to draft out of that. But we'll see. Say Marvin's gone, you're down to Malik. Giants are going wide receiver. You're down to Malik and Rome, Adunze, right? Who are you going with, Sean? Who do you like better?
I like Malik over even Marvin Harrison. And by the way, the LSU track record, it's funny because I'm a little bit of a hypocrite when it comes to when you draft a quarterback and people go, well, how many quarterbacks from this college have succeeded? I hate that argument. When it comes to wide receiver, I love Neighbors game to begin with, but the LSU track record in the last decade has been really good with these wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I would go Malik Neighbors if I came down to it. That being said, if the draft goes kind of too chalk and it's Neighbors and Harrison 4-5, the three big quarterbacks go 1-2-3 and McCarthy sitting there, I walk away no problem with Rome Odunze. I think he absolutely is kind of that big physical receiver. I mean, I don't know how much college football you guys watch, but all those Washington games where Penix was absolutely unloading down the field to him, that is perfect. You have Hyatt as the speed guy. I think Wandell is primed to have an insane year out of the slot, kind of a gadget receiver. You saw him come on late. Odunze just fits that so perfectly with them to play on the outside. He reminds me, and I'm sure a lot of people have made this comparison. I haven't seen it, but I'm not pretending this is original. He reminds me of Akeem Nicks. And that's perfect. You can get kind of your Knicks Manningham Cruz trio together in some lighter fashion. Even if you don't have the quarterback yet, at least whenever you get the next quarterback, that would be a great trio and rating. So I'm good with any of the three. I would choose Neighbors. I have no problem with the Doomsday's to pick for the Giants.
Jerry, just one last thing, buddy. I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, good.
Sean, I got to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Daniel's going to be the guy in September.
Yeah.
The Giants, on paper right now, have improved the offensive line. Now, that's on paper. We'll see you in September. Okay. They go out and they get that true X, that one number one. The kid could make an impact. But do you believe, Sean, that Daniel could have a good season in 2024? Or have you given up on Daniel?
Deep breath.
So I'm going to try to dodge the tomatoes here. I'm one of the last guys who really likes Daniel Jones. But I also, I'm fully on board with replacing him. And my main thing isn't even the playing ability. My thing is the injuries, man. Like, and it's not even the ACL. It's two neck injuries in 3 years. And, you know, from anybody I talked to, and Chris, again, you were in the locker room way more than I was. They were very scared on that second knee, second neck injury. And from what I gather, you know, if it wasn't for Tyrod Taylor getting hurt versus the Jets, they weren't exactly keen on rushing Jones back out there versus the Raiders where he did tear his ACL. So they were kind of stuck in no man's land. That worries me, man, because no matter what, even if he gets cooking, all it takes is a hit, even if the offensive line's better on the neck, again, to go three neck injuries in 4 years, something like that. So that's why I'm not necessarily trusting Daniels the guy. Playing ability-wise, I just wonder how much he's truly, quote-unquote, shell-shocked. Look, we could get tired of complaining about the offensive line. I know a lot of Giant fans have. Oh, guys play behind bad offensive lines, this, that, and the other. Yeah, that's true. But that doesn't mean the Giants' offensive line hasn't sucked for a long time. Daniel Jones, yeah. He had like a couple moments on the sideline where maybe you created a sack. A lot of those sacks were legit where he dropped back 2 seconds, somebody's in his face, and you're not exactly getting wide receivers separating. If you gave a true X wide receiver, sneakily not having to worry about forcing Saquon down the throats too, maybe that makes him wake up a little bit. Yeah, I think that Daniel Jones can take a jump. I mean, we saw it in 2018 with Pat Shurmur. We saw it at times in 2022. I know a lot of that was with his legs. But Daniel Jones inside him has shown the ability to make plays. He's shown the ability to clean up turnovers, especially. I just think for now it's all about injuries and trust. But yeah, in September, if they have that true X receiver and it's Jones and they haven't forced the quarterback, you will find a positive me looking at the positive. The offensive line's giving him at least 3 seconds to get rid of the ball that this team could compete offensively.
Yeah, it's amazing, Sean, because so many fans, and I'm sure you get this with the callers, so many fans are just, they just wash their hands. Like, they want nothing to do with them. And that's why I like to ask people, like, you know, well, what if, you know, if they improve this line and this, and they get that receiver, do you feel Daniel could be effective? You know, a lot of people, they're right now like, no, I don't think he could. You know, it's amazing. So
he's had, I throw out the Garrett years for everybody because look at what a better player Dexter Lawrence became and Andrew Thomas became after that. So Jones isn't alone, but if you look at the non-Jason Garrett years from his system, you know, 2018, he turned the ball over a lot. He aired the ball deep. That was his strength. He was second in deep ball completion rate behind Patrick Mahomes that year. And I know that was like blasphemy. Don't compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but he could do that. 2022, he did exactly what Dable asked him to do. A lot of that was run heavy and he used his legs. Mm-hmm. And last year was just the moment Thomas got hurt in that first game, they had no plan at swing tackle. Cut Tyree Phillips. They rushed Josh Azudu out there to play left tackle when they didn't even have right tackle solidified with Evan Neal. Josh Azudu was drafted to, they wasted a year of him because they couldn't even groom him at guard last year once he got hurt. He's crying in his locker after he gets hurt. How can an NFL quarterback, I don't care who you takes to being unbelievably elite. Burrow's played with bad O-lines. I give him that. How can an NFL quarterback play with actually not an NFL starting tackle through 5 weeks? That's what Daniel Jones was doing with Evan Neal and Josh Azudu, and he got hammered because of it. But is it too little too late in terms of his mental clock and going off that he'll never trust an O-line going forward?
Sean, I one of the mistakes, we'll talk about this recently, I felt Dable really made last year. He has to tighten up some things, Dabes. I thought leaving Daniel in that fourth quarter against Dallas last year when he was getting freaking killed.
Killed.
I'm not quite sure he recovered after that. I'm telling you, I think he was a little shocked after that game. He was never quite the same at the end.
And admirable. By the way, it was admirable by Jones to want to show, hey, I'm playing this thing through. And I'm sure that Dable appreciated that. But man, Dable made mistakes last year. As much as we've praised
him.
That is clearly one of those. And we could, the Gano and try. Dable almost trusted his players too much last year. Graham Gano was a big one. Obviously, Daniel Jones was a big one in that spot. And I think that Dable has to learn from that mistake. You have to sometimes protect players from their own good. I think a lot of times you have to protect players from their own good. And that only screwed up. I think it screwed up Jones mentally. It really did. But again, can he recover from that now? All the hard work you want, nobody knows in the gym when he's lifting weights and trying to recover from the ACL what he's thinking upstairs until he actually gets out there again versus pass rush.
Is there a pick they can, and look, you're a real passionate fan, so I know you would be nuclear the next day if you didn't like the pick. Is there a pick they can make at six that would just completely disappoint you, aside from just a complete reach, but like out of like maybe Joe Alt, if they took Joe Alt there, and he's probably the best tackle in the draft, but is there a pick they can make where you go nuts?
This is a good question, Jerry, because I've thought long and hard about this. Again, know that I have full trust. I actually would be fine with Joe Alt.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be my first pick, but how can I complain if you keep throwing darts at the O-line when all we've done is complain about the O-line? So wouldn't be my first choice, but again, I would be okay with it. That would signal you really don't believe in Evan Neal tackle, fine. The pick actually that would bother me the most could be the best player in the draft, could be a great player. Terrible, I think, giant decision would be Brock Bowers at six. That one would drive me nuts. You know what? You know why Travis Kelce and George Kittle are so tantalizing and so awesome for the team? Not only the fact that they're really good, it's the fact that you didn't have to use top 10 picks or first round picks on those guys. I have been shocky. I loved, but I've been so wrong on the tight end game. I wanted OJ Howard that one year. I wanted Eric Ebron that one year. I have been such a tight end homer for a long time that to me, man, I'm fine with getting a tight end in the second round, third round. You see these guys all the time. It's kind of become like the running back position for me. Look at Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. Might be a good player. Was he really worth the top 10 pick, even if Arthur Smith didn't know how to use him? Yep. I just think Brock Bowers is going to be really good, probably fit somewhere nice. I think when you're in that big a hole with that many problems with the New York Giants, that's, and you know that one of those three wide receivers will be there to play on the outside, Brock Bowers can't be your pick at six. And I've seen him, you know, mocked at least early on. Well, you know, you never know. Top five pick, top six pick. That's a Sean Morash Riots pick if Brock Bowers is the pick.
Not sure what to root for on draft day, just to see the reaction the next day. I'm a Giants fan, so I'm not going to, I don't want Brock Bowers, but I don't think I'd go nuclear over it. But yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead, Chris.
Sean, the Saquon Barkley, I had a kick, dude, watching you go back.
You're muted, Chris. Unmute.
I got muted. I got a kick, Sean, out of watching you go back and forth with the Barkley. Look, I think it's great. Look, get into it a little bit where Barkley's a very good football player. We know that. But I think people like want to jump off bridges because we're not going to have Saquon Barkley.
Oh, gosh.
So talk about Barkley. Are they going to miss Saquon a lot? I mean, was it that big of a deal he moved on? And did how much did it annoy Sean? We all know it annoyed Tiki, right? I know. It was
Tiki
to me stuff. I mean, people took that wrong. But talked about missing Barkley. And
look, man,
Philadelphia, Sean, because I know how passionate you've been about this.
Chris, I think so. Full disclosure, I'm 36. I'm about to be 37 years old. I've seen a lot of polarizing players in New York. You guys are a little older than me. You've seen it. For my generation, there may not be a more polarizing player from the time he was drafted to the time he left for arrival in Saquon Barkley. And I'm talking about all sports. And the truth is, the Saquon I watched at Penn State essentially was Saquon in the pros. But I say that in a negative way. He got hurt a lot. All right. And that's, look, that sucks. Running backs get hurt. You can't rely on him. He wowed you with the home run plays that it's not like I booed the guy because I loved it when he had those wowed plays. But ultimately, you know, last year he grinded the most I've seen in his career. Bro, he's a home run hit. Like his stats have always been so skewed when he has the 45 yard run, the 60 yard run. Then you look up all that 120 yard game he had. Yeah. But how many of them was him tap dancing behind the line of scrimmage and not being able to move the chains the way a Derrick Henry could move the chains? So look, Saquon is a very good talent and a good player. I'm not making him out to be some kind of bad bust player. But it's okay to take a breath of fresh air and realize Saquon's also pretty overrated when you consider the amount of times he gets hurt and what he does on a series-to-series basis. Yes, he's somebody you have to account for. And if the argument is simply, well, who else do the Giants have on offense that you're going to replace him with? That, to me, is a bad effing argument. I'm sorry, because guess what? As we enter year 7, 8, whatever we're up to with Saquon Barkley, if the Giants were still in a spot where they were allocating cap space, that much cap space to Saquon over the next 3 years, 2 years, whatever it ended up being in guaranteed money, and he was still the focal point, then Joe Shane did a pretty shitty job of building this team. And that's what, exactly why I want to draft a big wide receiver in the first round, something like that. There's no way that could be your best weapon on offense. And I'm sorry, let's not pretend the Eagles don't make mistakes. They overpaid DeMarco Murray and were done with him after year one, too. It's just bad football business. Whether that sucks for the running backs or not is not my problem. Yeah. I root for the team, and I root for the team's best interest. And the team's best interest is not signing Saquon Barkley long-term just because you gave him the second overall pick, and this regime didn't even do that. In the end, you're going to sign him, and guess what? When he plays 11 games next year or 14 games next year, we're going to be going nuts that the three-game stretch, we missed him because he's such a focal point. Now is the time. Force the Giants to realize, throw the ball on a modern offense, and also on throwing the ball, Saquon Barkley's an overrated receiver, too. How many times you need a ball go through his hands for an interception?
Boy.
It's okay to both admit a guy's a good player, a dangerous weapon, but also overrated, and that's the summation of Saquon Barkley's career to me.
Look, I've been saying it for a while. I've said Barkley's a good back. He's not a great back.
He's not a Hall of Fame player.
He's not a great back. He's a good back. You know, right. Look, Sean, and I love Saquon. I'll never speak bad about him. He was always a great kid in a locker, great guy. Right. But the simple fact is, Sean, is that Saquon thinks he's the best back in football. Yeah, I'll say this, and I don't mean this in a negative way. Like I'm knocking him. I'm not. But the simple fact is Saquon always thought he was the best back, and he deserves that Christian money. Yeah. McCaffrey. Oh. And he's not Christian McCaffrey. That's the bottom line.
Oh, my God. And the gag me comments. Every time I had to hear Saquon Barkley or some quote come out from Saquon Barkley, I'm not looking to reset the market. First of all, do a shot every time you read that in print or did it. You're not looking to reset the market. Here's the quick follow-up, Saquon. Are you looking to match the market that is Christian McCaffrey?
That he was.
Because when the Giants had 12 and a half mil or whatever the heck the number was on the table and he was at 16, whatever you were, a mil or so off, boy, that sounds awfully close to wanting to get like basically exactly what Christian McCaffrey got. So, yeah, okay, you don't want to reset the market. That's a funny way of saying you still wanted to make the same amount that Christian McCaffrey was making. Take a lap, dude. And by the way, I wouldn't pay Christian McCaffrey that money either. And let's not pretend the Niners have won a Super Bowl since they drafted him. They might get there. They still didn't win the freaking thing.
Sean, I know you've been very generous with your time. We know you got two little ones at home and being a good dad, putting them to bed soon. I wanted to ask you, were you upset when they made the pick in 2018? I'm just curious. Oh, Barkley.
Yeah. Yes. Matter of fact, when he left, my sister, I guess, had Snapchatted at the time. I was watching the draft with her, and she had sent me the video. And I immediately go to a big bowl of chili that was sitting on like a side table at my parents' house. And I basically dunk my head in and drink it. And now I was really fat in those days. But because it was one of those things like right a couple minutes ago, I telegraphed. I mean, I'm still fat, but I was really fat. I talked about Gettleman telegraphing all the picks. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things like I knew it was coming all along. But I was also on the camp of like, it's time to really move on for Eli. We knew it was a quarterback rich draft. I would have been wrong because I wanted Rosen. So in the end, I would have been wrong on who I wanted anyway. But that's beside the point. To me, it was like one of those things. I knew it was coming, but I wanted it not to come. And when it came, it was the Giants couldn't afford to pay their mortgage at that time. And they just bought a Ferrari. That was what I thought of the Saquon Barkley pick. And again, I saw him so much at Penn State where I just knew, like,
that's right, 120
yards, man, 70 of them are coming on one carry. Like, that's not a guy that just, you know, when Bradshaw used to run or Jacobs and they had that, you knew that you could get 6 yards in any clip. That's not him. He pitter-patters beyond the line of scrimmage, and then boom, when he takes off, you fall in love on that one big run.
Sean, my last question to you. Did Pellick hit Zibanejad on purpose?
Yes, but that doesn't mean he needed to get penalized. Listen to this, any dopey Islander fans watching. It doesn't mean he needs to get suspended. It doesn't mean he needs a 5-minute penalty. What it does mean is Mika probably did something he shouldn't have done in the first freaking period with a slew foot. And Pellick, unless he's the worst defenseman on the planet, has no business playing statue in the center of the ice, peeking behind him at Zibanejad coming.
So,
and you freaking clowns from Long Island, and I'm from Long Island too, you're going to get your comeuppance on Saturday and enjoy when we kick
why? You think the Islanders are afraid of Rempe?
Yeah. First of all,
who gets the shit?
Or Trouba? By the way, it's not even Rempe dropping the gloves from some useless fight. I hope that Jacob Trouba runs a freaking train through about three of these.
So was it a cheap shot? Yes or no, Muresh?
Yeah, it was intentionally dirty. But here's the thing,
he should be suspended.
No, no, no. Because I don't mind dirty hits in hockey. I just want them acknowledged. Like yeah. I said,
I thought the Trocheck hit was worse.
It was. It totally was. Yeah. No, it totally was. The difference was Trocheck didn't get knocked out. You don't want to lose your first center. Here's how. Look, we see it in football, right? We talk about flag football, all this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. I said this on Evan and Tiki today. Hockey is the last of the barbaric cavemen sports. Just because something's dirty doesn't mean I want guys suspended or I want it out of league. I just want, you know, a little admittance from fans. I see when the Rangers throw a bad hit or something like that. I'm like, oh, man, really took him out. But we can all accept it. Don't throw up the woe is me. Just admit it. It's hockey. It was a dirty hit. Jeez. Clowns.
Sean, brother, we're going to let you go. We know you got to run, man. You got little guys. But listen, my man. First of
let's
all,
link
tell...
up over the. Let's link up post-draft over the
we're
summer.
We'll link up post-draft. We'll try to get a little bit earlier or maybe even a sat, whatever you have, like an hour.
Yeah, man,
we'll
figure it out.
Tell Evan, I'm going to smack that beard off his freaking head if he keeps copying shit from the pocket. No. Tell
Evan. And by the way,
Evan has, you tell Evan I said he's got a little Hollywood. He used to communicate with me all the time. Now he does. Now he ignores me on Twitter. He's a little
really.
Hollywood.
And I told him as I was leaving, I was on with you guys. And quote, I love Chris. That was what he told me on the way out.
But now he's also, tell him I think he's got a little Hollywood. I'm gonna go up there and smack that freaking beard off his. No, I'm only kidding. I love Evan. Evan will tell you, I love him, Sean. I love Evan.
And I value this. Evan is running Tiki into the ground. For some reason, he has to bring Tiki to all his book signings this week. Evan wrote a book, My Mets Bible. So this is not a good week. Tiki is just he's going to Staten Island, he's going to Queens, he's doing this, that, and the other thing. I will deliver you Tiki Barber. He will come on and chop it up with you guys.
I even offered Evan. I'm a Staten Island guy. Not anymore. I'm in Jersey now, but I used to be. I even offered Evan. I said, Evan, I'll pick you up. We'll do some. There's a great pizzeria and stuff. Not even a response. Where do I see that frigging guy?
Interesting.
Little Hollywood.
Well, you just gave me a little material for tomorrow, Chris. So thank you.
There you go. You'd say, hey, you know what? My guy Chris says you went a little Hollywood on people. Just tell him like that.
And the Drake made a Josh Allen comparison. Wow, we didn't say that like 2 weeks ago or anything. So. just saying it, Evan. So, okay. Where'd you get that from?
Look, and you're his go-to Giant podcast. You're his go-to Giant podcast. Look, so when you get Giant material.
We always throw references to Evan on a podcast.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Because he's a good dude. We love messing with him. And you know what, Sean? I really admire his knowledge because he knows like every freaking guy in baseball. And I'm a huge baseball fan. And he'll know every freaking guy. He's amazing. We love having fun with Evan, dude, like that. So listen, we're going to let you go, Sean. We'll do this again in a post-draft. We'll break it down what the hell the Giants did. When you have some more time, we'll chop it off like it out. And like you said, we'll tell Tiki we said hello. I really, you know, I respect what he did, the way he defended, you know, what he had to say and all that stuff. So great spot, my man.
All right, remember, Brock Bowers, we riot. Take care, everybody. Love the Giants.
Right, Sean, see you soon, brother. Be good.
Thanks, man. All right, dude, let's take a break, and we'll come right back after this. You'll listen to the Giant Insider Podcast, folks. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody gets the Biz Ignano and our special guest, who was Sean Marash. Chris, I'll take this off because I know you're getting sick. So.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Look at that. I know people don't – a lot of people don't agree with some of the things Sean says, but you have to love his passion.
Yeah.
I thought he was a great guest. He believes, you know, and look, you know, he's going to give his opinion. And that's what this is about. And I think people forget that in the media world, Jerry, these days. Yeah. Where, you know, guys have opinions. Yeah. You know, just because you might not agree with it doesn't make it wrong or you just tune, you know.
And it's funny for someone who's very opinionated, he was the feedback was way more positive that he was coming on the show. You know,
well, look, here's the bottom line, right, Jerry? We're the Giant Insider Podcast. We're Giant fans. We're going to talk about the Giants. And he's a Giant diehard fan.
Yeah.
He's a Giant diehard fan.
Yeah.
And he's going to, you know, and, you know, there it is. Raymond Morales just said it. He's a diehard Giant fan. And he's going to say it like the way he feels. You know what I mean? And look, he just came on, right, with us. And he admitted, I was wrong about this quarterback back then. I was wrong about this draft pick. You can't go by me. So he's, you know, Sean's not up here saying, oh, I'm the right. Whatever I say belongs because I'm on the fan and I know this and I know that. No. So if anybody, you know, you kind of appreciate that from a guest. You know what I mean? He's coming on and saying, hey, I'm passionate. This is the way it is. Or I might be wrong, but I feel, you know, and he admitted with the Brock Bowers. If the Brock Bowers, I'll go crazy. So.
And got to give him credit, Chris. Like, I mean, he literally told us, I get off the train at 8:20. I can join at 8:30. Got to put my kids to bed at 9. I'm like, like, thank you, dude. Like, that's like, you got 10 minutes home. You jump on for a half hour before you even see your kids. Like, dude, that's great. You know, like, what a guy.
Yeah. Good dude. Good dude. I really, you know, I wanted to get him on for a while. I'm glad he came on.
Yeah.
And we'll have him on again because he's obviously a very good guest. People like listen to him. He's guys on the fan. He talks about the Giants every day and he talks about your Rangers and the Knicks and the Yankees and all that stuff. So it's, it was a good time. So Jerry, look, like we've been talking, bro, we just don't know what the hell is going to happen. Right. Yeah. We don't. What I think to me, we started getting into it. Then Sean jumped in, jumped on and we got into it with him. But to me, that New England pick is going to be, what the hell do they do at three? You know,
right.
Does it change what the Giants, what the Giants have going on, what they're thinking? Do they not try to move? Is JJ rated in the top four? Do they try to move? Do the Vikings have JJ at four? Where they're going to trade up to three or four? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does New England trade out of it? Yeah. To me, I think, Jerry, unless they don't have these kids graded, unless they have just argument's sake, just Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams as high, 1 to 5 top grade.
Yeah.
How do you going with Jacoby Brissett? Quarterback's the most important position. If you have a Drake May or JJ, right, Jerry, that high, how the hell you trade out of that spot? You're not getting it at 11. You're not getting it at 11, dude.
Right.
So
no, I know.
So to me, New England, I know New England's throwing the smoke stuff out there, but to me, I think New England still goes quarterback, either JJ or Drake, and then we'll have to see at four what Minnesota does, what Joe does, if they have this kid like Drake or JJ graded that high, they're going to try to go get him. We'll see. If not, Jerry, you sit back and you draft that receiver, dude. You know?
Yeah. And the other thing is, like I said before, Chris, or asked, does Arizona view six or do they view 11 and 23 as more valuable? Like, are they in love with a guy where they're like, we're going to get him at six. If we trade, we're not getting him.
Yeah.
Is he more valuable? Is it Marvin? If Marvin Harrison somehow were to drop the six, because if the Giants traded, then they think the Chargers take Alt maybe. That's part of it as well. Right. The gamesmanship. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
No, the Patriots, like, I just keep thinking they need so much, and I know they need a quarterback, but we beat them with Tommy DeVito. And I'm just thinking, like, with a new coach, does he want to, hitch his wagon to a new quarterback, or does he want to try to build the team up? Who the hell knows? But I agree with you, Chris. If they have someone high, and this was the argument we made 6 months ago, you can try and trade up all you want, but if these top teams are taking a quarterback and they're in love with them, they're not trading with you, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree, dude. And like you said, like Arizona, if they drop back to six with the Giants, maybe they have neighbors and Marvin graded the same. Well, okay, we're going to get one of them. You know what I mean?
Right. And they're not going to get him at 11. Right.
Right. You know, so that's the beauty of all this, dude. You don't know. Like, do the Giants have JJ graded that high? Do the Vikings have him graded that high? We don't know. You know, you can speculate all you want. We'll find out in 2 weeks.
And May, you said it on the last podcast, like, May is not a guy you kind of want to stay away from him, right?
That's just
and,
me personally.
No. And fine. Because I said I have his ceiling at Josh Allen. And you know what I have his floor is? Carson Wentz. That's what I have. I think he's that way. I think he's that quarterback.
Where
he's maddening or he's incredible. One of the two.
Look, I think, Jerry, I agree with you, bro. I think he's a hit or bust. I could be dead wrong with this.
No, right.
3 years from now. I just watch a lot of him, and just so many things, Jerry. I look at it and go, oh, God.
Throwing off his back foot, throwing off the wrong foot. He gets away with it in college.
I hope they don't go. But that's just me. Ryan Dable could be looking at that and go, oh, we'll fix that. We're going to fix this.
Right.
We love his big arm. We love the way he challenges windows. You know what I mean? Oh, this kid reminds me of Josh so much. And Dable and Josh Allen to this day are like this. And they might look at, they might look at it like, and all that stuff, man. So I'm not the one calling the shots. Ryan Dable, Joe Shane, Chris Rossetti, Tim McDonald, they're the ones calling the shots. And it's whoever they feel, is graded out that high. We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. Listen, he always says, what a good dude Eli is. Hit the thumbs up. Thanks for joining, Eli. Good stuff. Yeah, it depends on who they like. We don't know. But I'll ask you the same question I asked him. Is there a pick that could make, like when they took Tony, I remember Chris texting me, what the hell are we doing? Right. And that was about as mad as you get. To me, at least. What the hell are we doing? Is there that pick at six with any of the guys we mentioned? Like, if they took Brock Bowers, do you feel the same way?
No. I know Sean would go nuclear, like he just said. Maresh said he would go nuclear. I would not go nuclear if they took Bowers. Would I be surprised?
Yeah.
Yes. Would I go nuclear?
Right.
No. I wouldn't. I think he's a generational type tight end, too. Yeah. Now, I understand they need other things. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I would be shocked if one of those receivers where they went tight end. I would, Jerry. I would be very, very – let me put it this way. I'd be very, very surprised. I would not go nuclear, you know, if they went with him or Joe Alt, you know, or like a tackle.
Yeah, even if it's about one of the tackles, I wouldn't either.
Jerry, the only thing I would be floored and be like, what the F, if they went like a cornerback at six overall, because nobody's graded that high. And they need, you know, I know they need a corner, but they passed up a receiver or a Brock or a tack, and they shocked the world and went cornerback. I'll be like, whoa, what the hell are we doing? I don't expect that, dude. Yeah. Not in 1,000 years do I expect that. But you're asking me the question, what would make you go nuclear? What would make you go crazy? That would be something like
yeah.
that.
I don't think it exists, and I don't think Shane would do it. I don't think Shane has a guy where we would go, what the hell are you doing there at six? Like, no, even if, like you said, Brock Bowers or one of the tackles, it's okay, you believe in it, let's go. Glass half full, Spiro, we're coming out of this. We either are a quarterback or wide receiver, one of the future, I'm cool either way. And that's kind of how I feel too, Spiro. I feel the same way. It's like we're either going to get a stud wide receiver who's going to be really fun to watch, who helps Daniel, or our second round or high first round pick quarterback if we trade back, or a quarterback of the future. I still think it's going to be a quarterback. I still think one way or another we're going to trade with a team that I agree with you, Chris. I think it's going to be six quarterbacks in round one. I think they're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 one way or another, because I think Arizona will trade out. That's what I think, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. we'll find out. We'll see how far Arizona wants to go back when they trade up. But Arizona's going to be what? You know, Vikings are going to try to get that spot.
Yeah.
So Arizona's going to get a couple number ones, bro.
Yeah.
And they're going to strengthen their roster. They're going to probably, you know, with the Vikes picks, they're going to get two starters, Jerry. They should. You know, yeah. at 11 and 23, and they're going to get another pick, another number two or something like that, you know, so they can look at it and go, okay, we could get three starters here from this trade, right?
So say four quarterbacks go, and then Alt goes, no one trades, or Arizona trades with the Vikings, say, and now we're up, and the three receivers are on the board. Who do you take?
Marvin Harrison.
You do? Okay. I don't know. I thought you were leaning towards Adunze.
No. If Marvin's out there or if
all three are out, all three are out there.
Oh, no, no, no. I would lean towards Adunze if it's just neighbors and him.
Okay.
But if Marvin drops in their lap, no, I'll stick with that. I believe Marvin is the best all around receiver in this draft. And I'll stay with that. You know,
the pedigree too.
You know, I just, yeah, well, no, yeah, right. Needless to say. So I just, you know, I've seen Marvin. I've seen all three. I just think Marvin's the best all around talent. Wide receiver wise in this draft, I would say if all three of them on the board, I would go with Marvin. Yes, I would. Yeah. But like I said 1,000 times, Jerry, I don't think you go wrong with either one of those kids. I really don't, bro. I really don't. And I know people do. Look, this from what I understand, there's people out there grading Malik Nabers just as high, if not higher than Marvin.
Yeah. In
teams, you know. Yeah. So,
11 and 23. Can you get Adunze in quarterback too? Adunze could drop to 11 with the other two, with all the other needs in between. Absolutely. You'd be tempting fate there. The three receivers could go top 10, but sure. Yeah, that's very conceivable that one of the three, you know, either Adunze or Nabers, probably Adunze could be there at 11. Sure. That wouldn't surprise me that much. And then, when you need so much, cornerback too. But then now it's, all right, well, then we're ride or die with Daniel Jones or, you know, then Drew Lock. Right. I mean, it's like, okay, unless we take a project in the third round or even the second round, you know, I just don't see that happening. I see either, I don't know about you, Chris, I think they either get their quarterback by moving up, or they move back into the first round to get another quarterback. I don't see them.
Yeah.
I don't see them taking like a Spencer Rattler in the third round here. I just don't.
I don't either, Jerry. Like you said, I think if a kid like Penix gets out of the first round or is there late in that first round, or he's there still early second, the Giants try to move up in that early second round again, that I could see.
Right. Or even Bo Nix, even. Yeah.
You know, or Bo Nix. You know, I don't think the Giants are that hot on Bo Nix unless they're throwing smokescreen out. I think they're way – no, I could be wrong in this, but I always kind of get the feel of what they're doing, you know, looking at the visits, this and that, from what I'm hearing, you know, it could be smokescreen, but it seems like they're way more hotter on Penix than they are Bo Nix. But we'll see. You know what I mean? I think if Nix slides and goes down, Jerry, in that second round, who knows? The Giants could put a trade together and move up in that second round and grab that kid. That could happen. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, and I see if they took a third round quarterback, to me it's like a Davis Webb pick. Like, it's a guy that doesn't play, and you're like, oh, I wonder if he's any good. But it's just you're taking such a flyer then. Like, look, you can get quarterbacks late. You can. Like, it's happened a million times, but you can't pin your hopes to it and say, that's our guy in the third round. We're going to develop him, and damn it, by next year, he's going to be the man. I don't think you can do that. Yeah, right. Kyle Lollett is in the chat here. So, yeah, Jay Farries has a lot of
comments. Boy, Kyle Lollett, man, and you remember this, Jerry.
Yeah.
When Dave drafted him, I remember watching him in OTAs, and you remember this, Jerry. I used to text you going, what the hell did they do drafting this kid? Remember? I was like, what the hell could they have possibly seen in this kid?
Yep.
Because I'm right there. I'm watching him from the sidelines. And I'm saying to myself, they actually thought this kid was a fourth round. Whatever he was, Jerry, I don't remember. You better.
Fourth. You're right.
Fourth. And I'm like, what the hell did they see in this kid in the fourth? I'll give you a sixth round, seventh round, but fourth round? I'm like, what the F did they see in this guy? Jerry, you know that. I remember I text you that. Oh, I used to say it on a podcast, one or the other. I was like, what the hell did they see?
No, you said it. And the thing about Lauletta, which matched what Pat Shurmur used to say, he didn't have a strong arm. Pat Shurmur would openly say, strong arm is not the most important thing in a quarterback. And we're like, okay, but it's top two, right? It's top three things, right? Yeah, you have to have a strong arm.
You better be accurate, and you better anticipate really well in those windows if you don't have that real good arm. And he just
didn't. How do you throw that 20 yard out without a strong arm? So, you fit the mold, I guess.
Anyway, the point, like you were saying, you know, if they go with a kid in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we'll see. You know, so,
University of Richmond. That's right. Says it all, Dan, man. That's where Kyle Lollett went.
And I got to be honest with you, you know, I was on a podcast. Somebody asked me this morning on a podcast, and they said, you know, Chris, did you like Spencer Rattler at all in college? And I said, yeah, I got to be honest with you. I did it first year or so. And then I just kind of fell out like everybody else. And like, what do you think he's going to go? Do you think the Giants will take a flyer in the third round? I said, well, I guess it's possible in the third round where you could look at that kid Rattler and say, okay, we got him. Let's work. Let's develop him. You know, we think he could develop into maybe something, because the kid does have talent. I just fell out of favor, like a lot of people did. It looks like he's going to be projected to be in that middle round type category, you know? So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, like, Penix is a fascinating kid because so many people like him. So many people are like, oh, the injury history, you know, all this stuff. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And Bo Nix, to me, has an NFL-type game. And if you put him in the right system, you know, he could be successful, in my opinion, too.
So Bo Nix, you see going to Denver?
Look, Jerry, I just think he fits in well with Sean Payton. I really do. And it's so important.
The hands thing that Syverson brought up, too, was interesting.
Yeah. And it's so important that these kids go in the right system because, and Jerry, I said this morning in another, on the Irish podcast, you'll see it coming out.
Oh, nice.
Well,
I said
it this morning, and I said, it was brought up about the right system for these kids that get drafted, right? You better adjust what you're doing, or you better get drafted in the right system. Like, that's why I feel Penix maybe with the Raiders would be a little bit of a better fit, spread it out more. You got Devontae and all that stuff. Where I feel Bo Nix with Sean would be a better fit. And I said, well, I'm going to give you a name. I said this morning, I'm going to give you a name. All right. That if he wasn't in the right system, maybe it wouldn't have been that good. Who's that, Chris? I said, Joe Montana.
Hmm.
I said, if Joe Montana wasn't in Bill Walsh's West Coast system with his arm.
Short passes.
Okay. I said, it might have been a different story for that guy.
Mm-hmm. You know who Bill Walsh liked the best, right?
Yeah, the Giant. Yeah, what's his name? Phil. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phil. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. He liked Phil Sims the best. That's amazing.
So, you know, they draft Montana and he put him in that system, and Joe was absolutely, and the guy's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, Super Bowl winner, Hall of Famer. We all know that. But the point I was making is that if he goes into another system, he might not have been as effective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's so important too. You know, I think that's why, you know, you kind of like, we talked about it with the Drake May, right? We talked about it like he's kind of got that big arm Josh Allen type feel that Dable likes, right?
Right.
And that's why me and you feel that, yeah, they kind of like Drake May. You know, they kind of like Drake May more than, they're not getting Daniels. I know Daniels is coming in Monday, but you never know how these things work out. Right. You have to do your due diligence. You know, you got to visit these kids.
So I'll highlight this comment because you addressed it a few weeks ago. I'll address it. Cy Guy Bry, Giants only NFL team never to draft or have a number one black quarterback. Well, that's not true. They drafted Woodson in 09 from Kentucky. So they did draft him. But this leads right into my next question, which is why I was going to ask it, which is why I highlighted that comment rather. If Drake May goes 2, are the Giants just barraging the Patriots to try to get Jaden Daniels, Chris?
Oh, I think that's a very good possibility. If New England's looking to move out, now I'm pretty sure New England will probably jump on Jaden there. But excuse me, if they're looking to move out, I think the Giants would be all in. Then again, I think the Vikings would be going, if they should do that, So
for Shane has to make him an offer he can't refuse. The Patriots.
Well, then the question becomes, how much do you want to give up?
Right, exactly. How much are you going to mortgage in the future?
How much you're mortgaging for a team that has a lot of holes but if you hit that franchise quarterback, that makes up for a lot of holes too. So,
right. Then those holes get smaller somehow. Yeah.
So that question, there you go. If somehow Jaden Daniels, and if they like him that much, he will be their first one, right?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. That's why I highlighted that comment, because I would imagine they would do everything they could to trade up. Like you said, if the Patriots were willing to trade out. Yeah, dude, like you said, it's a buffoonish time of year, but it's also interesting. We're 2 weeks away. I can't wait till this draft happens. Like I said, I'm going to do a live stream. Chris is going to be at the stadium reporting. I'll probably get the text at some point right before they pick as to who it is. So that'll be cool. It's just fun, man. It's fun speculating. And that's the one thing about, struggling the way we have over the years, and you have high draft picks, but this is like the one time of year you can kind of look forward to and say, all right, well, what are they going to do? Last year was telegraphed a bit. We thought tackle, right, for sure. Then the other one, we weren't sure. We were like, is it Sauce Gardner? Well, Sauce Gardner was picked. Is it the other corner from LSU? I forget his name. Stingley. Is it an edge rusher? Right. So that was the kind of like, all right, what are they going to do there? But we knew tackle, or 2 years ago, rather, they would take a tackle. Last year was kind of a wild card with Tay Banks, but it turned out to be a good one. I didn't know, I didn't know if they were going corner round one, it didn't jump out at me as to like, oh no, they're definitely doing this. It was, they needed a few things. Let's see what they do. This year, to me, quarterback or wide receiver with that first pick. So again, it's just a fun time.
I agree, man. I think it would be a surprise if one of those positions wasn't taken by the Giants in the first round. That'll be a surprise.
Yeah, a lot of opinions on these quarterbacks too. I like Daniels the best from Dan Mann. These are good comments, guys. Good stuff.
Hey, look, Dan. I said last week with Syverson, I personally have Daniels graded out just as good as Caleb Williams. That last week.
Put it on Twitter too.
I put it on Twitter too. He's just as watching this kid. He's just as good as Caleb Williams. We'll see how he work out. I see that Dan just said that. I like Daniels. I still like Daniels the most. And guess what? I think we're pretty confident, pretty sure the Bears are going to go with him, Caleb Williams. But I tell you what, it'd be interesting 3 years down the road who turns into a better quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah, JJ's young. I see Daniels 3-4 years older than McCarthy. Yeah, JJ's young. He's a young guy. He's a young kid coming out, man.
Well, they're all like 23, 24, right? Daniels, Nix is 24. Penix is 24. I don't know Drake May. I think Drake May's 22, I think.
Yeah, he's younger. I think he's younger, yeah.
But yeah, McCarthy's 21.
McCarthy's a young one. He's a young guy.
That's the thing, too, dude. Like Marash said, I have an implicit trust in Shane and Dable. Like, if they like McCarthy more, or they like Drake May more, and they get it done, okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, Jerry, that's why I asked Sean that, because I was kind of curious if he still has the 100% confidence in Shane and Dable. Because you kind of see, I don't know these, after last year and all that stuff. And for a guy that's such a passionate Giants fan, I was curious on his take of that. Just sit back and say, okay, no matter who they draft, I'm totally confident with their draft. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he said he was, I think we're at that point still too, right? I think me and you are pretty safe. I could speak for you on this, that we're pretty confident in Joe and Dave's.
Yep.
What they want to do here at A, if they draft a quarterback, that's the guy they wanted. They have total confidence that he's going to be the future. And they're not going to reach. They're not just going to reach. Boom. Because they're, we got to get a quarterback, so let's just take a kid. We got him great late second round, but we're going to take him here at 6. I have confidence in Joe. It won't do something like that. So.
Yep. Good stuff, dude. We're an hour in. Anything else you got?
No, you know what, Jerry? Let's spend a few minutes. Any questions, start sending a question. Doesn't mean Jerry will yeah. answer them.
Fire them off, guys. Fire off
Fire
questions.
Them off we'll if you have anything
answer anything, almost anything you want. We'll see what happens. But yeah, great show, guy. Jay Farry's commenting. I never saw this dude before. He's got maybe 37, 40 comments in this tonight.
Who's this? Oh, yeah.
Jay Farry's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know who's winning the Masters, Richie.
Oh, here you go. What's your favorite pizza? Listen, go ahead, Chris. What's your favorite pizza place, buddy? Jersey, New York, what do you got?
Oh, pizza place or pizza? Oh,
well, I think he means pizza. I think it's pizza place, I think. Yeah.
Probably one on, I got a couple on Staten Island. So. Yeah, Dinino's and a couple of places on Staten Island. Yeah,
so I'm going to go.
Probably Dinino's.
I'm going to go Classico.
I never had Jerry's Place, so I can't see, you know, I know
you. Well, you got to try Classico in West Windsor, too. That's incredible.
Classico?
Yep, in West Windsor.
Wow, no, I never heard that. Okay, West awesome. Windsor. I got to write that down now.
Thin sliced, phenomenal pizza. Steve Cabrera, the guy's like a ninja. Guy's a Jedi making pizza back there. So
Classico, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wrote that down. How far is that for me, West Windsor, Jerry?
Well, it's like 10 minutes from me.
Oh, so it's not that far from you. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. I rolled it out. Biz, Chris, ever heard the band Get the Lead Out? Yes. Are you talking about the female band?
Yes.
Oh, was that Led Zeppelin?
I forgot what they're called.
That might have been Led Zeppelin.
Zeppelin.
Yes. That might have been a female band. I don't know if that's what Robin's talking about.
Yeah. Get the Lead Out's usually like a segment on the radio where you just play Led Zeppelin for 20 minutes.
K-Mac, yeah, had Brothers Pizza not far. Yeah, I was up the block on Port Richmond Avenue, K-Mac. I remember it. I used to love their Sicilian. That was always my go-to place for Sicilian. I'm sure K-Mac knows what I'm talking about for that place, Brothers, up the block from Dino's. Yeah.
Here's a good question. Are you, from Sci Guy Bright, are you worried at all about Neighbors being a diva, or if we pick up Marvin Harrison Jr., we have to deal with Marvin Harrison Sr.? I don't know what we'd have to deal with Marvin Harrison Sr., but do you worry about Neighbors being a diva, Chris?
No, I don't. I'm not really worried about it.
Comes with the position at this point, right?
I know. You know, I'm not worried about Marvin Harrison Sr. You know, if I'm the Bears, I'd be worried about Caleb Williams' dad from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, but I haven't heard anything as far as helicopter dads with Marvin Harrison. I'm sure, obviously, the fall is going to be involved. Frank's in Flemington. Across the shop, right? Yeah. I've been there, Rob.
That's a good one from Crunch Bunch. So say McCarthy's Neighbors and Adunze are on the board. I wonder if the Giants would have enough conviction to take McCarthy. Yeah, I mean, it depends who they have higher, right? Like, do they have McCarthy high enough to take at six and say, yeah, he's our quarterback of the future, this is our guy? Or do they... would they skip McCarthy and take Neighbors and Adunze? I don't think they would. I think they'd take McCarthy, but it's interesting. It's a good question.
It's a good question. Yeah. We'll see. It all depends how they have McCarthy graded out. You know.
Here you go, Chris. Richie M., if offered to trade back to mid-first round for a future number one and other picks, would you do it?
Richie, why I wouldn't do that, and I've said this before, is that I just don't think you could pass up on one of these three receivers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just think they're that good. And the Giants have needed an impact receiver for so long. You know, I personally would not. I would just take Malik or Rome, or even if Marvin drops back somehow, I would take one of those kids. It's a desperate need for this organization. We haven't had an impact kid since Odell. And I would go with one of those guys. I would not trade back.
Javier, guys, thoughts if the Giants leave the draft without a quarterback? Disappointed, to be honest.
Probably a little disappointed. Probably, you know, I think they want one. I've been saying it. So I would be a little, okay, you know.
Interesting choice, Giants. yeah, right. K-Mac, when's the next time you're in the building, Chris?
I'll be in the building next week. Joe Shane will be having his pre-draft presser.
Oh, so we have a subject for the next podcast. Perfect, in case we don't get a guest.
Well, let's just see after next Thursday.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. My bad. Let's do a couple more, and then we can wrap up. So glad we're not picking at one just because of all the Williams crap. Only downside is we'd be able to pull off a heist. Yeah, that'd be true, right? You're picking one, and you don't want Williams. Mm-hmm. Yes, you would get a ton.
That you would. Pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From your boy Robert, Chris. If Waller retires, do we spend the cash or bank it?
Well, I don't know what he's talking. It's going to be a post June 1st freaking, I see he came out and from a guy from The Athletic and he said, well, I got the June 12th to decide.
Yeah, good. Great.
It's getting ridiculous. To me, it's getting ridiculous.
Take your time. That's awesome. Good stuff. Let's see one more. Richie M. Agree, Chris. PFN is a draft simulator. I'm always getting offers like that. Oh yeah, that's a draft simulator. That's fun. Sometimes they somehow, like Jaden Daniels falls to six and you look like a genius. You're like, oh my god, I got Jaden Daniels, I got Keon Coleman in the second round. So yeah. All right, good stuff, dude. Let's see any more. All right, we'll wrap up. All right, we'll come back next week. We'll let you guys know. Probably Wednesday we'll shoot for again, and hopefully we'll have somebody else on. Or maybe we'll open it up. You know, we'll let you guys know. We'll decide.
Yeah. Thanks to Sean Marash again.
Yeah, absolutely. He was awesome.
Giving us some time. He was awesome. Yeah. We'll have him back on, hopefully, in the near future.
Yep.
Well, matter of fact, we're going to have a few guests on after this draft, Jerry, right? We're going to have Dave. We'll have Sean, maybe somebody else, to break down what the hell the Giants did and all that. So
yeah, good stuff. All right, man. All right, guys, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody.